April 21st, 2015. Hi, David said to give this to you. Here, this,
this. Oh, this is what we want.
And that's the extension cord.
Just wanted to.
Nice.
That's the extension cord.
Aaron Lichtenstein and I were classmates. I remember you came, we graduated to Yale, and we were going to the college. So they said the Ulu is coming. They knew already. He was 16 years old, coming from Taipei. The Ulu was coming. And he was, what about it? What about here? It's in the pockets, the side pockets. Look at the side.
It's the temple thing.
The Vihapa was in our class, Ed. To the link. Yosef Chaim Yerushalmi, he was a professor of Jewish philosophy at Harvard and Columbia. We were in Salanta together. But when he graduated Yeshiva College, he went to the seminary. A couple others also went. The seminary 50, 60 years ago was not like today. They had Yeshiva people.
My father's time. My father said many of the boys from Yeshiva College went to the same.
Yeah.
He didn't make a parnasa if he were not to that.
Yeah, Felder, his father, his son, was Yeshiva Talmud. His father was a rabbi in Felder.
He
called him Bim Felder. David Felder.
David
died already, too.
Yes, too.
He could learn. And they went to the seminary. A lot went to the seminary then. Yeah. Not like today, it's all women.
Yeah.
He got it all.
I don't know if it's working or it's just does.
This puts on the side is the switch.
Yeah, the switch is on.
It's on already?
Be connected to something.
It's on.
Yeah, okay.
This we have to put. Maybe he needs to move some things here. Was this one?
No.
Is it all right? How about this one?
I don't know if this is connected, but I don't see anything else here.
Look at these volume switches. You got three volume switches.
That's nothing. That's not on.
No, it's okay.
We'll do without it. Right. And David comes, maybe he'll figure it out.
I think it's working.
No, it's not. Hello? No. I don't know. You know anything about this?
Okay. We'll start with that. And someone figure that out. Good. Okay. Last week we learned the Gemara Chav. 1 minute. Chav Dalet on the base. The end of the Perek. The Mishnah is transmitting a lot of traditions of the Torah Shebaal Peh, just to remember all the halachas. So the Mishnah makes a contrast between the various kelim. Not all kelim are mekabel tumah. Some kelim are just not mekabel tumah. Let's say klei glolim, klei adoma, klei avonim are not mekabel tumah, period. Klei schuchis are mekabel tumah only midirabonim. In our Torah, it's not mekabel tumah. Klei mateches and klei eitz are mekabel tumah, and it has tara b'mikveh. And that's called klei shetef. Lishtof means to wash something out, to rinse something out. So if you have a klei that's tamei, a normal klei that's tamei, you're tovel in a mikveh, it becomes tahor. So we call those kelim klei eitz, and klei mateches, we call them klei shetef, because if they become tamei, you can wash them out. It means you can be tovel them in a mikveh, and they'll become tahor. And if you have a klei cheres is the same as a klei adoma, except that the Kli Adoma, you didn't bake it out in the oven after you finished making it. The Kli Cheres, you put it in a kil, you put it in an oven, you baked it out. So the Kli Cheres is Mekabel Tumah, and it has no Tara B'mikveh. So the only way to make it Tohar is if you smash the Kli. Chumash says, you shove it. If you smash it, so it no longer retains the status of a Kli. So if you have a broken Kli that's not useful, a Kli Cheres that's broken, it's not makabel tumah in the first place, and even if it already became tumah before, it can't retain the tumah. It can't continue to maintain the tumah. So the tumah disappears. If you have a kli eitz, or you have a kli mateches, if you smash it, it'll also become tahor. But meshugah d'afman zayin, why should I smash it? I can be toivel it in the mikveh, and without smashing it, without ruining it. Well, we learned Gemara Shabbos, a few years ago, we learned the end of the first parak in Masechah Shabbos. So the Gemara says that Shlomtzion Hamalka was once making a royal banquet, and she wanted, and then she realized that the kelim became tamei, and if there would be toivel le kelim in the mikveh that day, they would need harav shemesh, and she wanted to serve the meal before the shkia. She didn't have time to wait for the harav shemesh, so she had her experts smash all of the kelim. Once you smash it, so the tumah disappears, and you don't need any harav shemesh. It's not called full yom. So she smashed all the kelim, and then she had them solder it back together again. So the tumah disappeared. So the chachamim said that's not a good idea. So they made a gzera derabanan. She did it on kli mateches. So they made a gzera derabanan of tumah yishana. That if any mishugana should ever do that, you have a kli mateches that became tomei, and you smashed it, you made it tahor, but then you glued it back together again, you soldered it back together, so that the old tumah comes back again with the rabbanan. And at Torah, once you smash it, the tumah disappears. But the rabbanan made it clear that the tumah yishana comes back again. And since the ma'aser shoyah was only with kli mateches, so they made the gzera only on kli mateches. Let's say you have synthetic, let's say you have plastic kelim, so that's not mekabel tumah min atorah, it's not mekabel tumah min rabbanan. There's no tumah at all, shoyah. No tumah at all. There's even a question, a big debate. Mishnayis kelim. There's 30 prokem Mishnayis kelim. So you have a machlekes, the mefarshim on Mishnayis, where the kli all metal kelim on mekabel tumah are only those metals that are mentioned in the chumash. Let's say you have aluminum. It's never mentioned in the chumash because in the days of Tanakh they didn't know how to separate aluminum from the iron. But today they know how to separate it. So that's a machlekes halach lamaisa. So the Vilna Goyen sounds like he holds that only the seven metals that are mentioned in the Chumash, those claim ateches, are mekabel tumah. Zov, echesef, and echoshes, those are mekabel tumah. But aluminum, any other metal that's not mentioned in the Chumash, is not mekabel tumah. It's not mentioned in the Chumash. And the Tiferes Yisrael quotes this from the Vilna Goyen. The Mashmoy says only those seven metals, and he's surprised. He doesn't think that it's correct. He thinks that the Pashto says that all metals are mekabel tumah. Mishnah calls it klei matecha. Sounds like all metals. That's the shaila halacha ma'isa by us. The kabbalah's tumah is not too relevant by us, but the shaila is for tefilas kelim. If you buy klei suda from a non-Jewish person, let's say you buy silverware or you buy pots and pans from a non-Jewish store owner, so there's a mitzvah to perform tefilas kelim. So the chumash writes the mitzvah tefilas kelim. Pashup shat that it's a mitzvah min haTorah. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. Tfilas kelim, the last daf of Masechus Avodah Zarah. That tfilas kelim on metal pots and pans and metal forks and knives is min haTorah, and tfilas kelim on glass where is only midirabon. That's the posh pshat in the Gemara. Some Rishonim disagree. They say tfilas kelim on metal is only an asmachta midirabon. The whole thing is midirabon. And some Achrayim want to push in the other direction that even clay zechuchis is also min haTorah, but the simple pshat, the simple opinion that's accepted, the shita pshuta, the regular opinion that's accepted in the Shulchan Aruch is that tefilas kelim on metal pots and pans and forks and knives is min haTorah, and tefilas kelim on glassware is only midrabban. So the shot is when you say on metal kelim, the chumash puts together, chumash lists off all the seven metals, and it says if the tamei you have to, it's after melchemes midyan. So the Jews won the war against the Minyanim, and then they captured all of the kelim that the soldiers in the army were using to cook their food and to eat the food. So it says they had a kashu, all the trefik kelim, and then they had to do tefilas kelim on them. Tefilas kelim is a mitzvah. So the Chumash only speaks about the seven kinds of metal that they're mekabel tumah, and you have to do tefilas kelim. So according to the Vilna Goyen, it sounds like only the seven metals. And so if you have aluminum pots and pans, you don't need tefilas kelim at all. And according to the Tiferes Yisrael HaMishnayis, it's lav dafke the seven metals. The Chumash just mentioned seven metals. Why did he mention seven? I don't know. Chumash mentioned seven metals. Lav dafke means all klei mateches are mekabel tumah, and all klei mateches require tefilas kelim. That's a shaila. When you have, you buy these aluminum pans, the disposable aluminum pans, so they really need tefillas kelim on them. So some say aluminum does need tefillas kelim. And Rav Moshe has a different chiddush based on Mishnayos and Tosefta's, that if you have a kli that you only intend to use once. If you have a kli, they're going to use it several times, and then it's called a kli. If you have a kli that can only be used once, or it can be used many times, but you only plan to use it once, so it sounds from the Mishnayos and the Tosefta's that that's not called a kli. So that's Rav Moshe had a chiddush, that if you have a aluminum pan you're going to bake in it, then you're not going to reuse it. You're going to use it once and throw it out, so he thought that you don't need tefillah kelim.
What if it's the other way? It's made to be used once, but you want to use it many times. A lot of my friends try to save money. They buy, you know, those disposable ones. They just put tin foil
right
under it, and they keep reusing.
No, then if you plan to use it twice, Rav Moshe Feinstein is not sure how many times they have to plan to use it. It's two times enough, but they need more than two. So he recommends if you're going to use it more than once, he thinks he should be tefillah. You should do tefillah kelim, right?
So on tefillah kelim, if you do on glass where you make the bracha?
Yeah.
Same. You don't need to do metal first and then glass.
No. On glass, we assume it's midirabbanan, but on a mitzvah midirabbanan, you also recite a bracha. Yeah. Why not? Yeah.
The molded vessel, cup, instead of breaking it, you melt it down into liquid gold.
So that's like breaking it, so it's no longer...
It isn't like breaking it.
Yeah, it's no longer functions as a kli, and then you make it back into a kli. So that's like, that's the tumah yishana. So the tumah disappears. And then if you make it back into a kli, then midirabbanan will have the tumah.
So maybe Shlomo Zion did it that way.
Could be. Yeah. Okay. So here the Mishnah on Chof Dalar on the base... Mishnah is making a contrast between how kli cheres are makabel tumah and how other kelim are makabel tumah. All the others are called kli shetev because they do have tefillah v'mikvah. So the Mishnah says if you have a kli cheres and you have a dead sheretz, the Chumash lists off, and last week said it, Parsha Shmini, Chumash lists off 10 rodents, Shmoneh Shvatz Mahamura Matur, that's the name of the perik of Masechta Shabbos, Shmoneh Shvatz Mahamura Matur. So if you have this dead sheretz, so it's metame. If you touch a dead sheretz, it's metame b'maga. If you touch a dead, let's say, piece of meat in the A&P, that's from a behema v'chaya that didn't have shechita, so that's a nevela. So nevela is metame b'maga u'b'masa. Even though it's wrapped up and you're not touching it, or let's say you're wearing gloves, so for sure you're not touching it, but if you move it or you pick it up, that's metame b'masa. And if you have a human being who's dead, so not only is Mitami b'magam b'masa, it's Mitami b'ohel, even if the dead body is over there, and I'm over here, we're both under the same roof. So that's Mitami b'ohel. So those are the three levels of tumah. Shmoneh Shvatz, I'm only Mitami b'magam. So let's say you have a dead sheretz, and you hold it by the tail, and it's dangling in the klicheres. So that's a pasuk in Chumash, that klicheres is mekabel tumah without maga. It's Mitami me'aviro. If the dead sheretz, is in the avir of the kli, even though it's not touching the inside of the kli. What if it's touching the outside of the kli? So even if you have maga on the outside, kli cheres is not makabel tumah on the outside. So the Gemara says, where do you see that this is so? If you have any other normal kli, a kli mateches or a kli eitz, it's makabel tumah, if there's maga either inside or outside, and there's no din of avir, there's no din if you dangle a dead sheretz inside a wooden basket or inside a soup pot, that the soup pot is going to be makabel tumah without maga. You need maga, either maga on the inside, maga on the outside. And kli cheres is a unique halach, everything is unique. Once it gets tomei, there's no tara b'mikveh. Another din, we mentioned last week, the Gemara next to the last daf in Erevin learns that from a pasuk called Dovah Shein L'tara b'mikveh in Anasa Av HaTumah. There are four categories of things that are makabel tumah. Od mekele mochel mamashkim. Not all odom, anochri, is not makabel tumah. Kalim, not all kalim are makabel tumah. Kli adam, kli glolim, kli abonim, not makabel tumah. But basically, adam kalim, ochel mamashim. Ochel mamashim has to be roy lachilos adam. If it's michael behem, it's not makabel tumah. So these are the four categories of things that are makabel tumah. So from the things that are makabel tumah, only adam kalim have tara b'mikveh. Ochel mamashim don't have tara b'mikveh. You have a din if you have water that's tumah, you can do hashoka. So Rashi always mentions, here Rashi chazes again. Rashi has this, whenever the Gemara mentions this, Rashi goes through the whole pizman all over again. That in principle, ochel memashkim, that a mekabel tumah have an atar b'mikveh, except for water, And if you have a cup of water that's tameh and you want to make it tahor, so you can do hashoka, you lower the cup of water, let's say here's the mikveh, you lower it into the mikveh, and the water in the mikveh will be touching the water inside the cup. That's called hashoka. And Rashi said, that's not tarve mikveh, that's a different din. That's called zriyah. That's called zriyah. If you would have, let's say, tvua would become tamei, and you plant it in the ground, then it's mechubel karka, and it's growing. It takes root. Not stam, I cement it into the ground. If I have a potato that's tamei, and then I plant it, and it takes root in the ground, so then the tuma flies away. Parcha tuma himeno. Anything that's mechubel karka is not mekabel tuma, and even if it was tamei before I planted it, the tumah disappears. If it's mechubah, it can't retain tumah. So there's a pasuk in Navi that says, mayim al pnei chutzos, that when you pour water into a river, pour water into a well, so it's considered as if you planted the water. So that's called zriyah. So if you have water that's tumah, it has no tarah b'mikveh, but it has zriyah, so it has a hashoka, it can become tohar. So there's a gemara next to the last daf, at the very end of Erevin, called davish ein la tarah b'mikveh, ein anasa av hatumah. So it can never become, let's say, there's a mace in the room, so everybody, the mace is Abi Avois HaTumah. The tumah is transmitted to everybody here. So all the Mekelim have Tara B'mikveh, so we all become Av HaTumah. If you have Ochel Mamashkim in the room, so Ochel Mamashkim will only become a Rishon L'tumah. It can't become an Av HaTumah, because Ochel Mamashkim have no Tara B'mikveh. What if you have China dishes, you have Klicheris? So Klicheris also ain't a Tara B'mikveh, ain't an As Av HaTumah. So Klicheris can never be an Av HaTumah. That's a Rashi later on the next daf. Rashi is assuming that the klicheres, if you saw the Rashi on Chofeya Med Aleph, after the narrow lines in Rashi, when they become medium-sized lines, so Rashi writes a Dovah Poshut that the klicheres is a Rishon L'tumah, the second line in the medium-sized lines. Noga B'chitzon, he says, okay, chitzon is a Rishon L'tumah. Who says the chitzon is a Rishon L'tumah? So obviously Rashi, he's talking the outside klicheris. A klicheris can never become an avatumah. Even if it's an oil amase, and the mace avi avos atumah, when the tumah is transmitted to other mekelim, normal kelim, that have tarah b'mikveh, so they can become an avatumah. A klicheris ain't with tarah b'mikveh, so it can never become an avatumah. So the tumah will go down two madregas. The mace avi avos, and the klicheris, the echel mamashkim in the same room, will become a rishon, the tumah won't become an avatumah. So here the Mishnah has this contrast, that Kli Shetef means Kli Mateches and Kli Eitz are Mekabel Tumah B'Maga. Maga on the inside, Maga on the outside. Not Mekabel Tumah Me'avira. If you dangle a dead sheretz inside the soup pot, it won't become Tumah. And the Kli Cheres is Punkt Fakert. You can touch it on the outside, it won't be Mekabel Tumah. It's only Mekabel Tumah if you either touch it in the inside or it's Mekabel Tumah Me'avira. If you dangle the dead sheretz in it. If I'm tummy and I stick my finger in the kli is not going to become tummy because my finger is not tummy. I'm tummy. So if I'll climb into the kli, if you have a gigantic kli, I'll climb into the kli. So then you say, the kli cheres is mekabel tumah me'avira because the dova hametame is me. If you have a dead sheretz and the whole dead sheretz, I'm holding it by the tail and the whole dead sheretz is dangling inside the kli cheres, so then it's mekabel tumah me'avira. If I just stick my pinky in, the pinky is not the Dava Hamatame. My whole body is the Dava Hamatame. So that's why it doesn't apply to that case. So the Gemara was deriving, the Gemara was establishing all this from the Psukim. The, how do you know that Klicheres is not Mekabel Tumah from the outside? So the Gemara quoted on the top of Chafei Menal, just to review again, the Gemara quoted the Psukim of Chumash, that if you have a Klicheres, the Pasuk said the Chumash, if you have a Mukav Tzomid Pasuk, a mace in a room, so everything, mace avi avos hatumah, so everybody in the room, all other mekelim in the room will become an av hatumah, unless it's klicheres, it can become an av hatumah, fine. So then the pasuk says, if you have a klicheres, that's mukav tzamid pasul, has a lid on it, that's screwed on tightly, so then the tumah doesn't enter into the klicheres. What kind of a strange din is that? So the Gemara says, that's what the pasuk is telling you. Whenever there's a mace in a room, we consider it as if the tumas hamace is touching everybody and everything in the room. So if you have a klicheres and it's sealed on top, so it's considered as if the tumas is touching the outside of klicheres. Mag on the outside is not metame. If the klicheres, if the lid would be off, or the lid is sitting on it, but it's not screwed on tightly. Mukav tzamid pasul means it's screwed on tightly. The Gemara at the end of Bava Kamma discusses, based on Mishnais and Kelim, how tightly does the lid have to be screwed on that it should be considered mukav tzamid pasul? So the muk of tzamid pasul is a special din only kli cheres, because kli cheres only kabel tuma from the inside. If it would be any other kli other than kli cheres, that's the kabel tuma kli etz or kli mateches, and it's an oil ameis, even if it's with a lid that's screwed on tightly, so what? So it's considered as if the tumas meis is touching it from the outside. Sure.
So if theoretically it wasn't tzamid pasul, then it would become tzamid?
Right, so we consider as if the tumas ameis is crawling all over in the room and it's crawling inside. The klicher says, as if the tumas ameis is touching it from the inside. Right. So then the Gemara said there are two dinim of avir in the klicher. One that if you dangle the sheretz, one of the shmona shots, you dangle it by the tail, you hold it inside the avir of the klicher. The klicher says, mekabel tuma me aviro, even though there's no mag on the inside. Then there's another din. What I have a kli cheres that became tummy. I don't have tummy. Touched it on the inside, so the kli cheres became tummy. And then you put food inside the kli cheres. And not only is the food that's touching, so the kli cheres maximum only be a rishon l'tuma. It can't be an avatuma because ain't lo tarve mikveh no nasa avatuma. So the kli cheres is a rishon l'tuma. So if I put food in the kli cheres, so the Torah says kol she b'toch yitman b'kol echal she yachal kol mashke she yishasa b'chol kli yitman. If you have oichel inside, it'll be mekabel tuma from the kli cheres. If you have a kli inside the kli cheres, a kli is not mekabel tuma. The kli cheres itself is only a rishon l'tuma. Od mekelim can only be mekabel tuma from an avat tuma or above. Od mekelim can't be mekabel tuma from a rishon l'tuma. And the kli cheres cannot be an avat tuma. So if you have a kli inside a kli cheres, it can't be mekabel tuma. So the Chumash says, Kol shebetocha yitma, whatever is inside the klicheris is makabel tuma. The next pasuk says, the kol echal sheyachem kol mashkan sheyishas b'chol kli yitma. Only ochel mamashkan. If you have a kli inside the klicheris, it's not going to be makabel tuma. So then the Gemara says, what do you mean? You have oichlim inside the oichlim, the bottom layer of the oichlim. Let's say you have, the Gemara says, you have a pile of chardel. The Gemara has on the top line of chof emanal. You have a pile of mustard seeds. Mustard seeds, each seed is tinier than a kibetza. So that's a machlekes Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam, where the smaller than a kibetza is mekabel tumim min haTorah, only mekabel tumim min haRabbanan. So Rashi's opinion is that it's mekabel tumim min haTorah. So Rashi reads the Gemara normally. I have a whole pile full of mustard seeds inside the kli cheres. Only the bottom layer of mustard seeds is touching the kli. So the kli is a rishon l'tuma. Kli cheres can't be an av. The kli is a rishon l'tuma. So it makes the mustard seeds that are touching it into a kli sheni l'tuma. Makes it into a sheni l'tuma. A sheni l'tuma. But what about the upper layer of mustard seeds? They're not touching the kli, so they shouldn't become tummy. So the Gemara says, no, afila mole chardel, all of the mustard seeds are mekabel tuma, they all become a sheni. Why? That's also a din of avir. Just like if you dangle the dead sheretz in the kli cheres, and it's not touching the inside, the kli cheres is mekabel tuma me'aviro. So if you have food inside the kli cheres, the food is mekabel tuma me'aviro, even though there's no maga. You don't need maga for the food to become tummy. So Rashi has the gears in the marmo, the chardel, the top line on the afkofeim and out. The bottom taisvis quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, and every other mesich, the Rabbeinu Tam has this argument with Rashi, and he has a whole list of rayas, that less than a kibetza is only mekabel tuma me'aviro. So on the level of the Raisa, what do you mean? The Pasuk says if you have a kli cheres and you have a pile of mustard seeds in it, even the upper layer of mustard seeds, which is not touching the kli cheres, is also mekabel tuma. None of the mustard seeds are mekabel tuma in a Torah. It's smaller than a kibetza. So Rabbeinu Tam says, no, this line, moli chardel, that means min derabbanan. On the level of the Raisa, what it means is you have a whole pile of hard-boiled eggs in the kli cheres. So the hard-boiled eggs, each one is a kibetza. So not only is the bottom layer of eggs mekabel tuma because they're touching the kli cheres, even the upper layer, which is not touching the kli cheres, the upper layer of eggs is mekabel tuma from the aver of the kli cheres. Right. So the Gemara says, these are two of the unique dinim by kli cheres. It's mekabel tuma me'avir if you dangle the dead sheretz in it, and it's metame, and if the kli cheres is a rishon l'tuma, and you have a pile of oichlim inside, so the oichel is mekabel tuma from the kli cheres, even though it's not touching. Only the bottom layer of chardel seeds is touching. Even the upper layer is also mekabel tuma. Then the Gemara says, we learn out, the pasuk reads, kli cheres kol ha sheyipol el tocho yitma, chol ha shebetocho yitma. The word tocha appears twice. So the Gemara darshins the word tocho three times. Tocha tells you this din that klicheres is mekabel tumah me'aviro, only tocho of klicheres doesn't apply to tocha of any other keli. If you have another pot or a pin, there's no din of avir. The Gemara said, but it only says tocho twice in the pasuk. How do you darshan three times? The word only appears twice. That's what we left off last time. So the Gemara asks, it's about the 13 lines from the top of Chafayim and Aleph. So the Gemara asks, Vahani tocha hadarshinu, where it says, Vayikru yud aleph. In the Torah, or it says, Vayikru yud aleph. And the first two words on the line are hadarshinu. The Gemara says, you already darshaned the word tocha twice. So what are you darshaning three dinim? You darshaned the word tocha twice to tell you that if you dangle the dead sherets in the avir, the kli becomes tameh. And if you have food inside, even the upper layer of food, which is not touching the klicheres, is mekabel tumah from the kli, because it's in the avir. The kli is metame others and avir, and the kli is mekabel tumah me'avir. So and then you have a third drasha, tocho, only klicheres, and there's no din of tocho by other kelim. No other pot and pans, but it only says twice, or dashinu. And for the gemara, arbo, tocho ksivi. We darshan four times tocha. Well, how do you dash in four times? The word only appears twice in the pasuk. How do you dash in four times? So the Gemara says, tocha toch, tocha toch. It really, the pasuk could have been written without writing tocho. If we would be writing the Chumash, we would have written toch, without tocho. So the fact that it says twice the word tocho, so we dash in as if the word appeared four times, as if it were written toch twice, and then the fact that it says tocho, that's another two drushes. So we already have two other drushes tell me the din that the kli is mekabel tumah if you dangle the dead sherets in it, and then the pile of mustard seeds that you put in the kli is mekabel tumah, even the upper layer is mekabel tumah from aviro, and the third tocha tells me this din of avir only applies to klicheres, doesn't apply to other kelim. And what's the fourth drusha? You just explained. Yidarshin, the word tocha appears only twice, but yidarshin as if it's written four times. What's the fourth one? The Gemara says, and the fourth one is, what does the Gemara say? Chad legufe, that the kli is meka, the kli is metamid o'echlim in avir, v'chad l'gzereshova, that the kli is mekabel tumah if you dangle the dead sherets, v'chad tocha shal zeh, v'tocha shal acher, the din of avir only applies to kacheres, doesn't apply to any klisheta, but V'chad tocha v'lo toch tocha. That's another din. That if you have a big klicheres, and you have a smaller klicheres inside, you have a klicheres inside a klicheres, then the Gemara is going to say, and even if the inside kli is a klishetaf, it doesn't have to be klicheres. Then you have a dead sheretz, you have this big klicheres, you have a dead sheretz in the klicheres. But then you insert another klicheres, or even a klishetaf, inside this klicheres, and there's ochlim inside the inside kli. So would you say the ochlim and the inside kli are mekabel tumah me'aviro because there's a dead sheretz in the larger kli? So the Gemara says no. The pasuk says kol hashed betocho. Whatever ochlim are inside the same kli with the dead sheretz will be mekabel tumah me'aviro. But if the ochlim are inside the kli, which is inside the kli, so that's matzel on the tumah. So the tumah will not go from the dead sheretz, which is in the outer kli, into the ochlam and mashkin, which is the inner kli. That's called tocho v'lo toch tocho. Afil kli shetef, even if the inner, not only lo meboye, if the inner kli is a kli cheres, or kli cheres, not a kabel tumah from the outside, so the tumah doesn't go through. No, even if the inner kli is a kli shetef, even if the inner kli is a kli, shetef means a kli that is mekabel tumah from the outside. So it ought to be mekabel tumah. And once the kli shetef is mekabel tumah, how does it protect the food in the inside kli from becoming tamei? So Rashi says, no, the inside kli can't be od the mekelim or ala mekabel tumah from an av hatumah or above. And the kli cheres, by definition, cannot be an av hatumah. Because kol dovah shein letar b'mikveh nasa av hatumah. So the kli cheres cannot possibly be metami the inner kli, even if the inner kli is a kli shetef. It can't be mekabel. So you can't say, how can the inner kli protect the food inside it? The tumah goes through and through. The tumah doesn't go through. The inner kli is not tummy.
Inner kli is closed or it's open?
So that's what Rashi explains. The inner kli, so let's say the inner kli has to be the The opening has to be sticking up, protruding above the outer kli. If the opening is below the outer kli, so everything, the avir is mutami everything. But if the opening, it's either closed, if it's a klecher is closed, okay, mukot tzamit basol, even if it's open, but the opening protrudes above the opening of the outer kli. That's how Rashi explains. Then the Gemara is just working at it by the tiny letter Aleph that you have from the Bach in the Gemara. So the Gemara, till the Mishnah, another 10 lines, the Gemara is just working out all the details. How do you know that the dinim are so? Frek the Gemara, lo yihu kala kelim etamim migaben ala mitoichon, ubenigia mikal v'chaymer. Why don't you say that all other kelim are only mikabel tumah if you touch it in the inside? How do you know if you touch it on the outside? Kli cheres is so chomer that it's mekabel tuma me'avira if you dangle a dead sheretz inside. The kli cheres becomes tummy. This din about dangling avir doesn't apply to any other keli. So kli cheres is more chomer as far as tuma is concerned, and kli cheres on the mekabel tuma if you touch it in the inside. If touch on the outside is not metame, so you should say it's a kabel chomer. The other keli where there's no din of avir at all, they should certainly not be mekabel tuma if you touch them on the outside. You should say other kelim are only mekabel tumah if you touch them on the inside. The din is not so. The Mishnah says what's torah in kli cheres is tummy by the others. It's a paradox. The dinim are totally opposite over here. So the Gemara asks, how do you know? Why don't you learn that one din from the other? Why not say that all other kli shetef are only mekabel tumah if you have maga in the inside? Aver no, that maga and maga on the outside shouldn't count, shouldn't be metame migaban on the outside, elam itochan, only maga on the inside. Mikavachaymer, what's the kavachaymer? Kavachaymer means all the dinim in the chumash have to fit into a pattern. So if you see, makli cheres is more chomer than the others. Shem mitame, it is mekabal tuma me'aviro, it's more chomer than the others. Nonetheless, eina mitame, it's not metame migabo, it's not mekabal tuma if you do maga on the outside. So kol hakelim, all the other kelim, all the klishetif, she'ein metame me'avir, and they're not mekabel tuma from the inside dangling a sheret. Ein a din, shouldn't it be a kavachaymer? Din means a kavachaymer. Shouldn't it be a kavachaymer? She'ein metamim, they're not mekabel tuma begabban if you touch it on the outside. How does the Mishnah know this contrast that all the other kelim are mekabel tuma mag on the outside and klicher is only mag on the inside? How do you know? The Gemara says that's the way it reads in the pasuk. Amakor, the pasuk says kol kli pasuach hasherin tamid pasal alav tamihu. That's a din only by kli cheres. If you have oil ameis, there's a mace in the room, so it's considered as if the tumas mace is touching everybody and everything in the room. So if you have a kli cheres mukav tamid pasil, so the tumah can't go inside, so mag on the outside doesn't count. But that pasuk is only by kli cheres mukav tamid pasil. If you have another, if you have a plastic container, that's your plastic, it's not mekabel tumah. But if you have a wooden kli, if you have a metal kli, if you have a pot of soup and it has a lid on, that's not mukav tamid pasil, that's not tight. But if you have a metal kli with a lid that's screwed on tightly on top, mukav tamid pasil, so the pasuk seems to imply any other kli other than kli cheres, mukav tamid pasil doesn't help. Why not? Because it's considered as if the tumas mace is touching, as if the tumas mace moving around, touching everything. But it's only touching the kli cheres, it's only touching the kli matechas on the outside. So you see that mag on the outside is matami, sure. That's how the Gemara says. The pasuk says, mukav tamid pasil, tomei hu. So the word hu is a miut. Hi, only by the klicheris. Hi, hu duchi yein tamid pasil alav tamei. Oh, yesh tamid pasil alav tamei. Only hu, tamei hu means only by klicheris you have this distinction, is a mukav tamid pasil. Or kol hakelim, any other kli, other than a klicheris, ben sheyesh tamid pasil, ben sheyesh tamid pasil alav mitamid, they have a kabal tumor. Because considered as if the tumas meis is touching everything in the room, so you see the maga on the outside is metame. Okay, so the Gemara just worked out all the dinim. They had this old tradition in the Mishnah, and they showed from the pesukim lechumish what it's based on. And they darshan the word tocha appears twice in the same pasuk. They darshan as if it were written four times, because it could have, if we would have written the chumish, we would have written toch. We wouldn't have to write tocho. So you darshan as if it's written four times. And the fourth drasha was tocha v'lo toch tocha. If you have a kli inside a kli, then the oichelim and the inside kli are not mekabel tuma. Okay, chiddush. Now the Mishnah has right the contrast between some kelim and the other kelim. You have a chumer in this kli that doesn't apply to that kli. You have a chumer in this kli that doesn't apply to that kli, and you don't say put it into make a whole big pattern after it, out of it and apply all the din to each other. No, it's the achukim. This chumra only applies here, this chumra only applies there. So the Mishnah has such a similar din. Tor bikli eitz, tome bikli mateches. The din is, if you have a metal kli, and it's functional, but you're probably not going to use it until you polish it up, until you make a design on it, until you put a handle on it. It's useful even without the handle. Until you put the base on the bottom, you want to make it fancy schmancy. So that's called golem, a golem. A golem is a person is not fully, a golem is a kli. That's not, we call a person who's a moron, we call him a golem because he's missing. He's missing a little seichel. The original word golem means you have a kli that you didn't put the finishing touches on it. So you don't have a design on it, it doesn't have a base on the bottom, it doesn't have a handle to hold it. You can pour, let's say it has a liquid inside, you can pour it without a handle also. But if you plan to put a handle on it, you plan to put a base on, so the Chumash says it's not Mekabel Tumah if it's Kli Mateches. If it's Kli Eitz, it's Mekabel Tumah right away. And then you have another din in the reverse direction, that a Kli Eitz is only Mekabel Tumah if it has a base kibul, if it has a toch. If you have a Pshuti Kli Eitz, let's say you eat the ice cream, a Dixie cup, and they give you a little wooden spoon, so the wooden spoon is flat, a flat spoon, so it doesn't have any indentation. If you have, let's say, a normal spoon has a base kibble, has a toch. But the normal spoons are made from metal, so you don't even need that, it should have a toch. Let's say you have a metal knife. Metal knife doesn't have a base kibble, it's a pshute klei matech. Pshute means flat. So klei matech is that a pshutim are mekabel tumah. But klei it's that a pshutim, pshute klei it's are not mekabel tumah. So that's what the Mishnah says. You have a chumre in klei eitz that is mekabel tumah, even though it's a golem, golem klei eitz. I didn't put the finishing touches on. I didn't paint it. I didn't put on the design. I didn't put a handle. I didn't put a base on the bottom. But it's functional. It's functional, so it's mekabel tumah. And then you have a kulin klei eitz that pshuti klei eitz are not mekabel tumah. And then it says in Torah b'kli mateches tami b'kli eitz. If you have a golme by the klei mateches, it's functional now, but you didn't put the final touches on, so it's not mekabel tumah by kli mateches, but by kli eitz it is mekabel tumah. Gemara is going to say, how do you know that this is true? So Gemara is going to base it on either svaris or psukim. Let's see. Tana Rabbana, we have a Tosefta that explains the whole thing. Golme kli eitz. The kli eitz are functional, but I didn't put the finishing touches on. The din is tameim. And pshuteim, if it's flat, like the spoon from the Dixie cup, Atahor, golme kli mateches, if you didn't put the finishing touches on, that's tahor. That's not mekabel tumah. That's a pasuk in chumash. That is only kli masa. Kli masa means mamish, you're planning to use it already. It has all the finishing touches. So golme kli mateches are tahor until you put the finishing touches. But pshutei matameim, if you have a knife, a metal knife, and it doesn't have any indentation, doesn't have a base kibul, it's still mekabel tumah. Nimtza, what's the upshot? So that's what it says in the Mishnah. Torah b'kli eitz, tamei b'kli mateches, Torah b'kli mateches, tamei b'kli eitz. Kenes kakashi, each one has chumas and kulas, and you don't make any kavuchamas from one to the other. The elehen golmi kli eitz, what's the definition of the kli eitz? That's a golem. It didn't have the final touches. What was eis? Kol sha'asid lashuf. You're going to polish it up to shine it up. But it's functional now also. So if it's wooden, it doesn't bother me that I didn't give the finishing touches. Or it's osid l'shabetz. L'shabetz means I'm going to put little tchatchkalach, attach little tchatchkalach to the kli. The kli is functional the way it is, but you want to put little things on to make it look bells on or something to make it fancier. Or the garer, you're going to scrape something off to make it a fancy shape. Or the charkev, what's the charkev also? Rashi says you carve it out, you're carving out to make designs on it, okay. Or the hatich betunis. Tunis is some kind of a fish. And they used to use the fish oil to smear on wooden kelim. Okay, so I plan to smear on fish oil on the kli to give it a different coloration, but the kli is functional the way it is. So that's, since it's functional, gol mekli eitz on a kabel tumah. Or mechusa kan. Kan is the, let's say I have a kli like this, it functions. But I really want to make it fancy with something, a base to stand on. But it's functional the way it is. And the kli eitz, it's mekabel tumah. If it's chosa kan, or chosa ogen, and ogen is of something fancy on the top, or ozen, you have a handle to hold it. I can hold it like this, have a handle that's even fancier. So since it's functional without that, so it's tumah by kli eitz. What if it's mechusa chatita? What if I have a kli eitz and I didn't make the base kibul? I didn't make the base kibble. So then it says that it's tar, because kliyetz has to have a pshuti kliyetz is tar. The Gemara, so the Gemara is the kasha. Mechutzu chatita pshita. It's a pshuti kliyetz. Of course, it's not mekabel tumah. That's a davar poshut. What does the Braisa have to say? That's an exception to the rule. Emphatic Gemara name. We're talking. I have a kliyetz, and I really want that it should have a base kibble that it should hold 4 ounces of liquid. And I carved out only 3 ounces of liquid, and I still want to carve some more. So it's functional now also. It's functional now also. It has a base kibble, can hold 3 ounces of liquid, but I wanted 4. So that's what the Braisa means to say. Since I wanted 4, so it's considered as if it doesn't yet have the base kibble. It doesn't have the base kibble that I plan to make. So the Tosefta means to say, b'chusa chatita means, the chok kapeza b'kaba. I really want to have a kav. Rashi says a kav contains dalad lugim, and he carved out so much from the wood that it can only contain 3 lugim of liquid. It can't contain 4. So that's a chiddush. If it's b'chus chatita, it doesn't have the base kibble that I planned that it should have. So that's not mekabel tumah. That kind of gol mekleya, it's not mekabel tumah. Even though it has a base kibble, it doesn't have the base kibble that I really want that it should have. Yeah, that's a chiddush. That's a chiddush, but that's what it says in the Tosefta. So that's the din of gol mekleyetz. And what's the halacha of gol mekleyetz matechas? Which are gol mekleyetz matechas that are not mekabel tumah? Exact same thing, all repeated, but kli matechas is different. Kol she'asid lo shuf, I'm going to polish it up. L'shabetz, I'm going to stick on little tchatchkalach designs around the side. L'garer, I'm going to scrape a little bit off. L'charker, what's again l'charker? I forgot. Indentations to make designs, to make indentations, designs on the outside. So even though it's functional the way it is, but that's the halacha by kli mateches. If I didn't complete, if it's a golme, I didn't complete everything I planned to do, it's not mekabel tumah. Ola hakish bekurnis, I'm going to use a cornice to bang a little bit, to make indentations, to make some kind of design on the outside. It's functional the way it is, it's not mekabel tumah. Om chusakan, I have a becher, and I want to make a stand on the bottom of the becher. The becher is functional the way it is, but since I plan to make a stand, I didn't put the kan yet, or I want to make an ogen, I want to make a fancy design, a lip on the top, it should protrude a little bit, or ozen, I want to have a handle on the side, the metal pitcher functions the way it is, but I plan to make a handle on it, so that's gol meklei matechas ator. What if it's mechusa kisui? I made a soup pot made from metal, and I want to have a lid on top that all the soup shouldn't evaporate. I don't want the soup to evaporate. So that's not called gol mekleyetz. The lid is a separate kli, and the pot is a separate kli. The pot is a complete kli. When you make the lid, that'll be a separate kli. That's not considered the gol me on the bottom kli. Right. So the Tosefta lists off, spells out this din that gol mekleyetz. This is based on a pasuk. They go mekleim matechas are not mekabel tumim because it's mechusa tikkun. Says kokli masa. Kokli masa means you plan to use it the way it is.
If I have a metal kli that's complete, but it wasn't total yet, would it be subject to being coming tumim?
Yeah, that's mekabel tumim.
Even though I can't use it because it wasn't
total. Yeah. That's a mitzvah, you have to be tovla, but it's all in shape. The shape is all there. So the Gemara wants to know, once you have the pasuk, by kli matechas has to be kli masa, shouldn't be golme. Why not learn from that pasuk that it should apply to kli yetz as well? How do you know so the Gemara said there is no pasuk. There is no pasuk that says not to learn that one from the other. All the previous daf, the Gemara had a pasuk on every sneeze, every step of tochu and tochen, and everything had a pasuk. Here the Gemara says, no, there's a pasuk by kli matechas that golme is not mekabel tumah, called kli masa. It's about to be used. And there is no pasuk that says that it should not be carried over to Eitz. So what's the svara? How do you know mitzad svara not to extend the din of golmei to kli Eitz? So that's a machlokes amaroyim. The Freg Digmar, in the third line from the top, maishnahani. How did the Tanoim know that this pasuk, that golmei klei matechas and not mekabel tumah, how do they know that it doesn't carry over to kli Eitz as well? So it's a svara. So that's a machlokes, Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Nachman, what is the svara? Rabbi Yechon and Nachman lived in two different countries. Rabbi Yechon lived in Eretz, Rabbi Nachman lived in Bavel. The Gemara presents it as if they're talking to each other. They never saw each other. The Gemara always has like that. They present as if the people were carrying out a conversation. They live in a different generation, they live in different countries. Okay. So it's a machlokes hamaraim. It's a svara, it's not a pasuk. What's the svara to distinguish? So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Hor Lulakobet Asuyim. Metal kelim are fancier than wooden kelim. So therefore, the pasuk says it's only mekabel tuma if you did all the finishing touches, because he wanted that it should be very bekavadik. Kliyot are not so bekavadik, so nonetheless it's mekabel tuma. So the gomei doesn't bother me. That's the svar lechalik. Rav Nachman thinks it's a different svar lechalik. Hola de mei mikurim. He thinks that kli matechs are more expensive than kliyot. So the gzeres hakasev that says that you need kli masa gomei is not mekabel tuma only applies to more expensive kelim. My benayu, what's the difference? Halacha lemaisa, is there a difference? Each one gave a svara to explain this din in the Mishnah. Gemara says, yeah, there is a difference. Ika benayu clay etzem. What if you have bone kelim? That's a chiddush. That bone kelim are makabel tumah. Who says that bone kelim? We said a plastic kli is not makabel tumah, and glass kelim is on the makabel tumah. Midrabbanan, the Gemara says in the first parak and Shabbos. So how do you know? There are Mishnayos all over the place. Tosis points out. There are Mishnayos all over the place. Here, the second Tosis on the top. We know from Mishnayos that Kli Etzem are Mekabel Tumah, but the Gemara is assuming that it's Mekabel Tumah Min HaTorah. So the Gemara asks, how do you know that Kli Etzem are Mekabel Tumah Min HaTorah? So the Gemara says, yeah, it's a pasuk. That if you have dishes made from bones, so that's also Mekabel Tumah. The Gemara is going to say it's a pasuk. So that's the Shaila. If you plan to make, what if the bone kli is only a golem? You plan to put a design on it, or you plan to put a handle on it or something, but it's functional the way it is. So it doesn't have the status of kli mateches, that golmi atohar, doesn't have the status of kli eitz, that golmi atome. So the Gemara says, that'll chapten af kamina between Rabbi Yochanan, my benayah is that, what's the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Nachman? Why I don't turn out from kli matechas to kli eitz? The difference will be kli etzem. Why? Because kli etzem are more expensive than kli eitz, but they're not becovered. It's not so becovered. If the svara lechalik is because, like Rabbi Yochanan, that kli matechas are becovered, so it's only mekabel tumah when it has all the fancy tchatkas on it. So that would not apply to the kli etzem. It's not so becovered. But if you say the reason why kli etzem, but if you say the reason why kli eitz is not learned that from a mamatzina, from kli mateches, that the gomi should not be mekabel tumah is because it's more expensive, because the kli mateches is more expensive, so the kli etzem are also more expensive than wooden kelim. But as the Rav Nachman lit taimei, Rav Nachman goes l'shita so, dom Rav Nachman kli etzem ke kli mateches domu, has the same status as kli mateches, that Golmi will not be Mekabel Tumah. So that's because Rav Nachman said previously on the Amud that Holu Demeim Yikorim, that the Kli Etzem are more expensive than Kli Eitz. Sure. So the Gemara made an Afkamina Ledina. Then the Gemara asked just like a footnote, parenthetically, and pray tell, where does it say in the Chumash that Kli Etzem are Mekabel Tumah? Maybe it's only Mekabel Tumah with the Rabbanon. You're making an Afkamina on the level of the Raisa. Who says that Kli Etzem are Mekabel Tumah on the level of the Raisa? Fake the Gemara. Michlal, the inference is, Kli Etzem Mekabel Tumah on the level of the Raisa. And you're saying you don't learn out from Kli Matechas to Kli Eitz, because there's a Svar Lachalek, and does the Svar apply to Kli Etzem? Depends on a Machlek. Who says Kli Etzem are Mekabel Tumah? And the Tanya, yes it is. You have a Raisa, Rabbi Shmuel Brosh, and Rabbi Berko Emer. We have a Pusik. Ma Talmud Lama, the Pusik says, cloth begodim are Mekabel Tumah. Cloth begodim are Mekabel Tumah. So the pasuk says, "Chomaisi izim tischatou." By Milchemes Midyan, there were dead bodies all over the place. So the Jews won the war, and they confiscated all of the kelim, and they took all the clothing. So kol maisa izim poshib shat means made from wool, from goats' wool, or leather. Leather clothing is also mekabel tumah. Why does it say kol? This is a ma'ase izim tischato. Tischato means if it was mekabel tumas meis, a meis is metame b'maga, meis is metame b'ohel. So it has to have hazor shlishi shvi. It's not enough just to be tovel in the mikveh. You have to take paraduma water, sprinkle on the third day and the seventh day, and then you can be tovel in the mikveh and make a tor. Tischato means he goes through the tahara procedure to make the godim made from the ma'ase izim tor. Why does it say kol? Kol is always assumed to be a ribui. So the Tana says, Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yechim and Breker says, Lahavi, the word called is to be mar b'davar haba min ha'izim. There's something else. Vashibshat kol kli kol ma'ise izim, made from wool, made from goat's wool, and made from hide of the izim. These are godim that are makabal tuma. But the word kol is mar b'lahavi davar haba min izim. What is that? Min ha'kanaim and min ha'tlofim. If it's made from the horns and made from the bones of the animal, it's also mekabel tumim min haTorah, if it's a kli, if it has the shape of a kli. But it only says izim. Maybe it's only if it comes from a goat. How do you know if it comes from an elephant, or it comes from a horse, or it comes from a cow? Maybe it's only goats. Everything's included, not only izim. So why does it say izim? No. If you have bones from a chicken and you made a kli out of that, that would not be mekabel tumim. But only bones from a behemoth of a chayah, that would be mekabatum. Shut. Okay. So these are old traditions that they had. Torah Shabbat, they had all these traditions. And the Tanoim explained what the mocker is. The Amoraim explained, how do you know? Not to learn out from the Kli Mateches to the Kli Yates. The next mission is also a contrast between one thing and the other.
Are we learning two separate things from a word of chayah?
I think so. Kol is ribuy. It says marba a lot. Probably, yeah. No, there's a machlekes whether there's tumas ohel, whether meis akum is matami b'magu b'masa. Just a machlekes hatanoim whether meis akum is matami b'ohel. Because the pasuk that says ohel says odem ki yom is b'ohel. So Rabbi Yechen, so Rabbi Shim Bar Choy says, that Atam Kriyim Odom. The word Odom only refers to Jewish dead bodies. Some Rishonim hold that a Kohen is permitted to touch a dead Sheretz. A Kohen is permitted to touch the dead Nevela in the A&P. Let's say the Kohen works in the A&P and he packages the Nevela meat. And he's Metame himself all day long. That's not a problem. A Kohen is not allowed to become Tommy to a Tumas Mace. But a Tumas Sheretz, a Tumas Nevela, that's not a problem. So some Rishonim hold that if Meisei Akam are not Metame Ba'ohel, then Meisei Akam are like a Nevela. So the Kohen is permitted to be Metame to the Meisei Akam. That's not the generally accepted opinion. Most of the Rishonim, Mishlam Melech has a long tshuva about this. Mishlam Melech, when did Mishlam Melech live? The late 1600s, early 1700s, I think. So Mishlam Melech, at his time, that's when they discovered the mummies. And they started importing the mummies from Egypt to Europe. Mishlam Melech probably lived in Turkey or something. So the Jews were always at the forefront of making money. So the Jews and the Kohanim were in this business of bringing the mummies to Europe. So the shaila was, the mummies are mason. Are they allowed to handle the mummies? He has a whole tshuva about this. So he quotes some of the Rishonim, but it's a minority opinion. That if one should follow the view that Meisei Akam are not Metamei Ba'oil, it's only Metamei B'Magam Masa, so just like a Kohen is permitted to be Metamei to a dead Nevela, so he's permitted to be Metamei to Meisei Akam. But the generally accepted opinion is not so. That Magam Masa, for sure the Kohen is not allowed to be Metamei. Oihel is the Machlekes Satanoim, and it's Machlekes Arishayim, had a Paskin. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, both the Mechaba and the Ramah are right, that the proper thing is to be Choshish for that opinion, they may say Akam Amitame Ba'ohel. The Kohanim should not be in an oil amace with a mace, with Meisei Akum. They should avoid it. That's the Shaila. A Kohen goes to medical school. So they're going to be, for so many centuries, there are always cadavers there in the medical school and the anatomy classes. So now they're starting a new shtick. Everybody does virtual, they take virtual anatomy. They don't touch any dead bodies. In Eretz Yisrael, for many years, there were always enough bodies for medical school. They always had terrorists. They only had Arab terrorists. They had more than enough bodies. And the Knesset made a law a couple of years ago, you're not allowed to use any Arab, you're not allowed to use non-Jewish bodies in medical school, only Jewish bodies. So it's a shayla, forget about Kohanim, it's a shayla about the Israeli. You're not allowed to work on a Jewish body. It's a mitzvah kvura. You have to bury the mace right away. You're not allowed to leave the mace around. You're not allowed to get hanor from the mace. You're learning anatomy from that. You can't really say it's bikuach nefesh. Because in the future you expect to become a doctor, and because you're using the cadaver, so you think you may save someone's life in the future. Very iffy, very questionable. What if he's going to become a skin doctor? He's going to save someone's life because he used the mace over here. It's very, very questionable. So that's why they have to allow now, not only Kohanim, they allow the Kohanim to take the anatomy, virtual anatomy, now the Israelim also, because no one wants to deal with the Jewish dead bodies. But they're starting in Chutzlots also, not only in America also they're doing this.
Oil comes from dead bodies. Is there any issues
with oil? Which kind of oil?
Regular oil from dead bodies. I mean, it takes
olive oil. Well,
petroleum.
Petroleum.
So,
if the 50
million years.
Mesa
Zosabano. It takes a very long time, but that's where they come from.
Yeah?
No.
I don't know.
Dinosaurs.
Amazing Zasabano. Anissa Shenishtana is a big machlekes. Machlekes are Ben Yoin and the Rosh and Brachas. What if you have an Issa Shenishtana? It started off, the Rabbein Yoina has this assumption. Many, many go to Muslim like this. If you have a piece of chazer and you put it in a container of honey, and you leave it there long enough, the chazer will convert to become honey. I don't know if it's true, but that's what they assume. The honey has such a power that it will convert the chazer or the nevela that you put into honey. So the Rabbeinu Yoina has a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which he interprets, the Goyim interpreted, that the Mishnah says, the Mishnah lists off the following things you're not allowed to buy from a non-Jew in the Rosa Bahanoah. Because it's the Kruvus of the Zari, Ainesach and so on. The following things they're not allowed to buy from an Anjou, it's also Bachila, Mutabano, Bishalak, and Pasak, and other things. Following things you're allowed to buy from an Anjou. So the mission lists out the following things you're allowed to buy. It says honey. You can buy honey from a goy. So, well, how can you buy honey from a goy? Maybe he put some chazer into the honey. So the Gemara gives an answer. So the Pashib Shat, and the answer is the goy is not going to be such a fool. He's going to put nevela into the honey. He's going to ruin the honey. It'll smell awful. And the customer is going to ask for their money back. That's the Pashup Shat in the Gemara. And the Goyim had a different reading in the Gemara. They understood the Gemara to mean, if he puts nevela into the honey will have an effect on it. The nevela will turn into honey and it's mutter. No, the Goy puts it in. The Goy may put in nevela into honey. But when I buy honey and it looks like it's all honey with honey, I don't see any nevela. So everything is mutter because the nevela turned into honey. So Rabbeinu Yoina establishes, based on that Gemara, that Anisa Shenishtana is mutter. Total change. And the Rosh says, Vezokt, whoever heard of this? Who says that if the nevela turns into honey, it's mutter? That's how the Rabbeinu Yoina read the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah, the reason why you're allowed to buy the honey from the goyim. The Rosh read the Gemara differently. The goy would never be such a fool to put in schmaltz on the veiler because it's going to smell awful and the customer's going to ask for their money back. So that's a shalin din, how do we paskin? So the Mishnah Brura, how do you paskin if you have an Issa Shenishtana? So the Mishnah Brura quotes the Prima Gadim on that. It really should be in Yerideya, but it's not. It's in Hilchus Bichus HaReach. Hilchus Bichus HaReach says sometimes you say, hey, bari mini b'samim, sometimes you say, bari izbe b'samim, bari yatze b'samim. You say different brachas on things that smell good. Nice and rech tov ba'peiros. Different brachas on things that smell good. So the Gemara talks about a certain thing, musk. The Gemara brachas talks about musk. What bracha do you say on the musk? Right. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says, well, what's now we're talking about musk? Are you allowed to mix it into the food? What about kashrus wise? So he tells you, he describes what musk is. Musk is some kind of a trefa animal. And the blood from the circulatory system collects in a gland in the animal, and it sits there long enough, and it changes. Instead of having the properties of blood, which doesn't taste good and doesn't smell good, it changes and it has a major change, and it smells good and it tastes good. So Rabbeinu Yonah says that it's mutter. Anisa Shenishtana is mutter. So that's quoted in Hilchus Birchus HaReach. So the Mishnah Berurah says, and how do you paskin regarding that machlekes the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yonah? So he quotes the Prima Godim that if it's an Issa Deraisa, you should be Machme. If it's an Issa Derabbanan, you should be Mekel. The other way, Paskin sort of that it's a Sveikah Adina. So by Yisurim Deraisa, we should be Machma, by Yisurim Derabbani can be made. That issue comes up very often, Issa Shenishtana. So you say what, that if you have dead bodies and they convert to become petroleum, probably a major change. So that's a shaila. Whether Meis Asa Ba'ano, is that an Issa Deraisa, is that an Issa Derabbani? That's also a question. The Gemara learns it out from a Pasuk. And Taisus assumes that it's a real Din Deraisa, Meis Asa Ba'ano. And Mishlam Melech, right, he's not so convinced that it's an Issa Deraisa. Maybe the whole Pasuk was only intended as an Asmachta Midirabbanon. So that's a Shaila. Okay, if you know the petroleum, really petroleum comes from Mason. Okay. So that would be a Shaila. I don't think so. I think the gelatin underwent a process. Part of the process was it became Nipsal Me'achilo Sodom. So the Chabiz Das, that's a Sefer on Yeridei, in the back of the Yeridei, written by the author of the Nesivos. He wrote a Sefer on Choshe Mishpat, that's a knockout, and he wrote a Sefer on Yeridei, that's also a very prominent Sefer. He wrote a Hilchas Pesach, the Mikor Chaim. He wrote a lot. The Nesivos wrote a lot. So the Chabiz Das proves from the Gemara that if you have an Isser and you have a whole process, and the Isser changes in the middle of the process, it's a natural process. Middle of the process, it reaches a point that it's not roi l'achilos adam, so it becomes mutter. And even though it's a natural process, it's going to continue. Later on, it's going to become again roi l'achilos adam. Once it became nifsim achilos adam, it remains mutter. So that was Rabbi Chaim Moser originally. He wrote the tshuva about the gelatin. So they described it to him. It's not the same now as it was over there. Rabbi Chaim Moser describes they used to make gelatin from the bones of the dead camels in the Indian desert. And the bones were sitting in the sun for months, and they rotted away, and it was spoiled, and it was nifsim achilos adam. And then they would take the bones and take out the gelatin and mix it into the jello, and it tastes delicious. Fine. So Rabbi Chaim Moser said, since it was nifsim achilos adam, even though it's part of a long process and becomes way later, it's a mutter. But now they don't make gelatin like that. They don't make gelatin from the bones in the Indian desert. Yeah. Yeah, okay. What the next Mishnah talks about, Trumas HaMaisis. The din is that whatever grows in Eretz Yisrael that's edible, you have to be mafish Trumas HaMaisis, sometimes Minatara, sometimes Minarabana. We assume that Minatara, Trumas HaMaisis is only on Dog and Tirish V'Yitza. Because the Pasuk talks about Reishis Truma. Reishis is the first thing you get. Reishis Dagon Chavisi Rosh HaVitzarech. Dagon is the Chameshis Mini Dagon, wheat, barley, oats, rye, and spelt. Dagon. Tirosh is wine, grapes and wine. And Yitzar is olive oil, olives and olive oil. So these are Chayav Min HaTorah and Trumas HaMaisis. We assume that all other fruits and vegetables and Bebalach, everything else, is only Midirabbanan. Everything else is only Midirabbanan. The Rambam has a different opinion, that's Rashi and Tosfos. That's the main sheet is like Rashi and Tosfos. That only Dog and Tirish V'Yitzar, because that's the Chumash always talks about Reish is Dagon HaChavisi Rosh HaVitzarech Truma, and Maisis, Trumas HaMaisis, all the same thing. The Gemara says that boxer is only chayv in Shumas and Maisis Midirabbanan. Right, so the Rambam says because it's Michael Behema. The Rambam holds if olive oil and grape juice is chayv, then olives and grapes are also chayv. Why should you distinguish between grapes and olives and other fruits that grow on a tree? Why should oranges and grapefruits and pears and apples be Midirabbanan? So the Rambam's opinion is, the Gemara says Maisa Yerik is Midirabbanan. Vegetables is only Midirabban and Trumas HaMaisis. What about all fruits? So the Rambam doesn't see a distinction between olives and grapes and all the other fruits. He thinks that all fruits are Chayv Min HaTorah. The Gemara says that Boxer is only Chayv Midirabbanan. So the Rambam says, yeah, Boxer is Michael Behema. It's such tough stuff, normal, it's not the Nechal Adiyah Tchak. Human beings eat it. If you're stuck in a cave, like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, you have nothing to eat for a couple of years, so you'll eat Boxer? Okay. But a normal person doesn't eat boxer. That's what the Rambam says.
The tree is very soft.
Uh-huh. Okay. By the time it reaches America, it doesn't taste good. Yeah. Okay. So we paskin that all fruits and vegetables, everything has been the Rabban. So here the Mishnah talks about shkedim. What a shkedim is almonds. So there are different types of shkedim. So there are bitter almonds and there are sweet tasting almonds. So the Mishnah says, "Hachayv hishkedim ham." Sometimes you, let's say you plucked off the apples from the tree prematurely, and they don't taste good. They're not roi l'achilos adam. So you only chayv in trumas and maises if it had gemar pri, if it ripened, if it's edible. If you plucked it up too early, then it's eitz. Just like you're not chayv in trumas and maises on the wood. So even the fruit starts to grow, it's only eitz be'alma till it reaches a certain stage, and then it's called eichel. So if you have shkedim hamarim, the bitter almonds, so achay b'shkedim hamarim potah b'mesukim. If it's bitter almonds, means when they'll grow to the full size, then it'll be bitter. So use seichel. So don't let it grow till the full size. Eat it when it's still tiny. So if you want to eat it when it's tiny, then it is chayv in shumas amaisis. If you wait till it becomes bitter, then the Mishnah says not roy lachil asadim. Then it'll be potah from shumas amaisis. And achay b'mesukim, potah b'marim. And faket, if you have almonds that are tasty, that are sweet, mesukim means they're sweet. So you're only chayv in shumas amaisis if it grew till its normal size, till it grew to the big size. If it didn't grow sufficiently, so it's like eitz b'alma. So then by the mesukim, if it's too small, it's not chayv in shumas amaisis. So they're opposites from each other. By some almonds that are going to be bitter when they'll be fully ripened, so they're only chayv in shumas maisis when they're small size. When they're big size, they're not chayv in shumas maisis. And if it's normal almonds that taste good when they're big size, so if it'll be small size, then you're not chayv in shumas maisis because it aches. You're only chayv in shumas maisis when they're big size. So they're opposites from each other. So the Braisa spells it out. Again, Tosef, Tatan Rabban, Shkedim Hamorim, if they're bitter almonds, when they grow to full size, Ktanim Chayovim, because that's when the people eat them. The Gedolim Apturim, because they're not Reil Achila Sodom, because they're bitter. Okay. They're not Chayb in Shumas Ma. You only Chayb on Michael Odom. Michael Behemoth is not Chayb in Shumas Ma. Only Michael Odom. If it's Michael Odom and you feed it to an animal, the animal is not Jewish. You're not allowed to feed Tevel to a Goy. You're not allowed to feed the Tevel to a Behemoth either. Even though the Behemoth is not Jewish, there's no Lif Nebel to say to Mirshah, that's a din. Tevel is muta ba'anoa, but it's not muta ba'anoa shel kilui. You're not allowed to have it consumed by, you're not allowed to feed it to a goy. Even though the goy is not the mechuyev in the mitzvahs of Afroshos, Trumas, and Maisus, it's an issue on the part of the Jew to have the tevel consumed without having Afroshos, Trumas, and Maisus. So the Gdolim Apturim, even if he's going to feed it to the animals or something, not chayim Trumas, and Maisus. And Mesukim, if you have almonds that are sweet tasting, so gedolim achayovim, only achayovim if it's full size, and ketanim apturim because if it's too small, so eitz bi'alma doesn't yet have the same pri. It's not yet roy lachilasod. Sure. So the Tosefta is saying over the same as the Mishnah, but he's explaining it. The Mishnah doesn't explain. The Mishnah just makes a statement. By these almonds, it's the opposite from the other almonds. Doesn't say what you're talking about. So the Tosefta explains talking about the size ketanim gedolim. Not all the Tanoim agree. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Emma Mishumov, even says the name of his father, the Tana Rabbi Yossi, Zev Zev Ptur. The smaller size almonds are always potter from Trumas and Maisis, even if they're Shkedim Hamarim. And the normal thing, you're not going to wait till it's going to get so large. It's not going to taste good. Everybody's going to eat it when it's small. So it is Roy Lachilo Sodom. He says, no. If it's small size, it's eights. It's not Chayim and Trumas and Maisis. Even if people eat wood. Let's say people eat wood, so wood is chayv in shumas and maisis, not chayv in shumas and maisis. What is it? Kaira, the Gemara has. The Gemara Brachas talks. There's certain branches on the tree, that someone told me they serve it in Paris, in ritzy restaurants. A friend of mine had to go to some mathematical conference of mathematicians in Paris. Everything was treif in the restaurant. So he ordered kaira. He ordered they sell that as a delicacy. They sell branches from a tree. So it can't be treif. It can't be any yisa. Just raw branches from a tree. So if you have the ketanim, this ketanim is the name of Rabbi Yossi, he says, Ezel Ptur. If it's a small size almonds, even though no one's going to wait till it's become big almonds, they're going to eat it when it's small. It's eitz b'almas, not chayim shumas maisis. The Amri law, in another version, has it punk faket, Ezel Chiyuv. Both the sweet almonds and the bitter almonds are both chayv in shumas amaisis if they reach the large size. The question is, which meshugan, who's going to eat the bitter almonds? It's not roi lachila sodom. Am Rabbi Loi, Harab Chanina b'tzipori, the Tana who lived in Tzipori, Rab Chanina Paskin, he did Rami Zel Zel of Tur. He Paskin that the small almonds are always put against the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the bitter almonds are chayv in shumas and maisins when they're small size, because that's when everybody eats it. So this tana paskin like the other opinion in the Tosefta, that small is always part. Frag the Gemara, how could there be the amrilo? How could there be another opinion zevah zavachiyuv that the large size almonds are always chayv in shumas and maisins? But it's not roi lachila; it's bitter. Which meshugan is going in it? Not roi lachila sodom. There's not chayv in shumas and maisins. Frag the Gemara, man the almonds zevah zavachiyuv. The gedolim, the large size almonds, when they're fully ripened, are always chayv in shumas and maisis. It's lemay chazi, but it's bitter. People are not going to eat it. And for the Gemara, why not? You'll cook it. Let's say potatoes. We don't eat. The cows eat potatoes when they're raw. Human beings only eat potatoes after they're cooked. So here also, these almonds, if you cook them, they'll become roi lachil. Am Rab Yechanan, hovi yochol lamaskan, ayidei ha'ur. If you cook it with the fire, then it'll become musak, then it'll become sweet. Mix in a little sugar, right? So it'll become tasty. There's an ishkan taina. But the Mishnah holds not so. The Mishnah says that by the shkedim hamarim, Mishnah holds by the bitter tasting almonds, if you eat it when it's a large size, you're not chayim in shumas and maisis. The Gemara is explaining why there was a taina who held fakir.
Did you say that the tevel, you can't destroy tevel?
Hanoa shel kilui. You're not allowed to have hanoa shel kilui from tevel, yeah.
So if I want to take a tevel fruit and just
throw it in the ocean. To jack up the price. Yeah, that's what America always does. Yeah, no, that's not Hanoa. You get a Hanoa, you're going to charge more for the. If there's less supply, then it's going to become more expensive. But you're not getting Hanoa from the stuff you're throwing into the ocean. So just to destroy Tevel, I don't think that's an Issa. If you get Hanoa Shalkili, that was you feed it to a Behema, you feed it to a Goy. So you're not permitted to get Hanoa Shalkili from the Tevel. But just to be Mechala the Tevel, that's not a problem. That's not a problem. Let's see. Noch HaMishnah. And Rashi points out, until this Mishnah, we were making a contrast. Kli Cheres versus Kli Shetef. We're talking about Kli Eitz versus Kli Mateches. Different kinds of things. Poraduma and Egla Rufa. Different things we're comparing. Kohanim Levim. Here talking about, and then the Mishnah we just had, we're talking about sweet almonds as opposed to bitter almonds. They're different kinds of almond trees. This is one kind, this is a different kind. Here we're talking about the same thing. At one stage, it has one din. And if you wait till a later stage, it's going to have a different din. Okay. But you're also making a contrast, the same thing at different stages. Hatemed, what is temed? You squeeze out the grapes and you make grape juice, and then you let it sit long enough, and the grape juice is going to turn into wine. Fine. So then what do you do with the leftover grapes? So you throw them in the garbage. So instead of throwing in the garbage, you take water and you have the water sit with the pits, or you have the water sit with the shells. And if it sits long enough, so it's going to pick up the flavor from the leftover pits and from the leftover shells from the grapes. So that's called temed. So if you let it sit long enough, then it's going to pick up so much flavor. It's going to have a spunk to it. It's going to have very gish. It's going to taste something like wine. And if you don't let it sit long enough, it'll have kiyu of the alma. Just have a slight little taste to it. So the Mishnah says if it doesn't sit long enough, it's dino kimayim. And if it sits long enough and it picks up enough flavoring and it turns it to hechmetz, it has a spunky taste to it, then it's dino kiyayin. What are the differences between yayin in Mayim? So Rashi explains in the Mishnah, there's a din min haTorah, Maisa Sheni. There's a 7-year cycle. So whatever grows in Shemitah is supposed to make an Hefker. You're not Chayv in Hafrashas Trumas Maisas. Whatever grows the other 6 years of the Shemitah cycle, you have to be Mafrish Trumas Maisas. What are you Mafrish? So the first 2 years, you're Mafrish first Truma G'doyla, then Maisa Rishon, then Maisa Sheni. Maisa Sheni, Maisa Truma G'doyla, you give it to the Kohen. Maisa Rishon, you give it to the Levim. Then Maisa Sheni is supposed to bring it to Yerushalayim. It needed Bigdusha V'Tahara. The guy has a ton of oranges. He's going to get sick if he eats so many oranges. So he invites 1,000 people to eat the oranges. You have to eat it Bigdusha V'Tahara and Yerushalayim. Then the third year, instead of Mafrish Maisa Sheni, Mafrish Maisa Oni, that doesn't have any Kedusha, you give it to the Anim. Then the fourth and the fifth and the sixth years are a repeat of the first 3 years. So the Pasuk says, and what if you have a ton of oranges? What if you have a ton of whatever? And it'll be such an expense to bring it to Yerushalayim. He lives so far away from Yerushalayim, and the transportation The Maaseh Sheni is going to be so expensive, it'll cost more than the whole value of the whole Maaseh Sheni. So the Torah permits you to be paid in the Maaseh Sheni on the money. The halacha says only on kesef. Usually, Shavi kesef is ki kesef. We all got married, so we gave a ring to the kala, and that's kiddush kesef. Because Shavi kesef dina ki kesef. Shavi kesef dina ki kesef and kala terakula, except for three cases. So this is one of the three cases. Pinyan Maaseh Sheni has to be dafka on to kesef. You can't use a Shavi kesef. Let's say if you live in Eretz Yisrael and you have an Israeli coin, so that's called kesef. You live in America and you have an Israeli coin, that's not legal tender in America. Israeli coin in America is shavah kesef, if it's shavah anything. Israeli coin in America is shavah kesef, it's not called kesef. An American coin in Eretz Yisrael, that's a question. That may be kesef. That's a question because they...
have a problem. They don't recognize the Medina, so that's kesef.
Right, then the Torah character will not use Israeli coins, because the Chazanish says you have to use a shilling. Chazanish wrote a sefer before Hakamas HaMedina. So of course he says he used shillings. The din is you have to use whatever is kesef hayosef b'hoitzor, whatever is recognized by the government. So the Torah character don't recognize Israeli government, so they're very consistent. So they will not use Israeli coins for the purpose of being poida Maaseh Sheni. But the other, all the other Rabbanim, Rabbi Yashiv, Shlomo, everybody used Israeli coins.
There are no more shillings.
Okay. I don't know what they do, Taka.
Euros.
Yeah, euros. So the Pasuk says, when you pay to the Maaseh Sheni onto money, you have to bring the money to Yerushalayim. Bizman hazeh, you can't eat Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim for three reasons. First of all, we're all tamei. You have to eat it b'tahara. Secondly, the food that you're going to buy is going to be tamei. All the food, everybody's tamei. All the food is tamei. Everything is tamei. Thirdly, you have to have a mizbeach banu. You have to have a Beis HaMikdash. Even though you don't have to eat the Maaseh Sheni in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's only bizman sheyesh mizbeach banu. So there are three reasons why we can't eat Maaseh Sheni. So what do you do today? So the first 2 years, you mafresh Maaseh Sheni, then the fourth and the fifth year, vayte mafresh Maaseh Sheni. So what do you do with all that? You have thousands and thousands of dollars worth of Maaseh Sheni. So Bizman is saying, you can't eat the Maaseh Sheni. So we do what Bizman HaMikdash would only be allowed, but even we do it lachatchila. You pay the thousands of dollars of Maaseh Sheni onto a nickel, onto a pruta's worth, and then when it comes, Erev Pesach of the fourth year, Erev Pesach of the seventh year, this Erev Pesach was Erev Pesach of the 7th year, the Shemitah year. You have to destroy the money. That's called Shas Habir. You have to dispose of all of the Maaseh Sheni that you have. And if you have money, you have to destroy it. You put it into a container of assets. It'll disappear. In a minute, the coin will disappear. It's against the law to destroy American currency, but they're not going to put you in jail. Huh? Put it in the Yam HaMelech. Okay. In the days of the Gemara, they put it in the Yam HaMelech. That'll destroy it. Yeah. The minig is, for many centuries, you don't use paper money for pinyan Maaseh Sheni. It's a question whether it's Mikar Adin or it's only a Chumra. The Chasam Sefer wrote about this. Yeah, it has to be Kesef, Sheish Olav Tzura. So he raised the question that maybe paper money is not called Kesef, maybe it's called Shtoris because it only has representative value, doesn't have any intrinsic value. But then the coins are also today. The coins don't have intrinsic value. The coins don't have such... the penny is worth more than a dime. What do you say? The value of the penny is worth more than a dime. So it doesn't really correspond to anything. So that's a question. Okay. So the Chumash says, if you have so much Maaseh Sheni, we have tens of thousands of dollars worth of Maaseh Sheni, you can't eat the Maaseh Sheni because we're Tamei and all the food is Tamei and there's no Mizbeach Banu. So what do you do? So you put all the Maaseh Sheni. Then you have to destroy the money. But Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash, people will become Tor. So what do you do? So you take the money to Yerushalayim. With Sarta Kesu B'Yadecha, you take the money to Yerushalayim in your wallet. With Sarta Kesu B'Bokar B'Tzona B'Yayin B'Shecha, you buy food. And you can't buy water. You can't buy fish. The Gemara says you have to buy pre-mipri v'gidule karka. Rashi quotes from Erevin Dav Chav Zayin. We learned that a few years ago. When we learned Erevin, we learned that Dav. You have to have, it's a Gemara in Bava Kama also, you have to have pre-mipri v'gidule karka. So water is not pre-mipri, and fish is not gidule karka. So you can't buy fish and you can't buy water. You have to buy yayin, the pasuk says, b'bokar b'tzona b'yayin ha-mashech, can't buy water. So the shayla is this temed. I squeezed that, the grapes, and I made grape juice and wine. What do I do with the leftover grapes? So I put a lot of water and I let it sit for a long time. So if it sat long enough and it has an oomph to it, it's temen misha hechmetz, has a spunk to it, that's called yayin. Then I can bite with my sesheni money. But if it's temed shelo hechmetz, then it's called water, like Kool-Aid. Basically, water with a little flavoring in it, that's not called yayin. So you cannot buy mayim with my sesheni money in Yerushalayim. You have to buy dafke yayin or bakar batzana by yayin avashecha. You have to buy something. So on the one hand, that's a din that depends dafke on yayin. If it's yayin, then you can buy it with my sesheni money. What if I took my sesheni money and I bought a bottle of water? So the money that I gave the merchant remains kodesh b'kedushas my sesheni, because the kedusha will not transfer over onto the water. If I buy fish and not geduli karka, so the money that I gave the merchant will still have kedushas my sesheni, and the fish will the kedusha will not go onto the fish. You have to buy baka batana by yayin mashecha. So if it's yayin, you can buy it with mois my sesheni, and if it's mayim, you can't. Then that's a din menater. Then there's a din midrabanan, a mikveh, you're not supposed to use mayim she'uvim. Mayim she'uvim means I carry the water in a bucket and I pour it into the mikveh. Right, so that's a question, is that a din midrabanan, is that a din midrabanan? The whole mikveh is mayim she'uvim. So that's a machlekes in Taisvis, the machlekes in the Ri, and the Rabbeinu Tam, a different mesichtes. And in Shulchan Aruch, the machlekes, the mechaba, the Ramah. The Ramah is machmed, that kulo shov, if the whole mikveh is she'uvim, that's pasal midrabanan. The Mishnah says shuvim is only the rabbanim. Whenever you have a suffix shuvim, you're always meiko, even if it's not such a glatta suffix. So that's shuvim, that's the rabbanim. You're always meiko. That's gimaluge maim shuvim. That's a different din. Rashi explains, if you have a mikveh that doesn't yet have mem saw, mikveh has to have a minimum of aboim saw. Aboim saw is enough for a normal sized person to fit in. If a guy's very, very fat, he's not going to fit into a mikveh of mem saw. If you have a tiny little baby, if you have a little spoon, it can fit into a mikveh less than memso. But the halacha requires the average size person needs memso. Amalama burum gimalama is 3 cubic amas. So that's the shear of memso. So every mikveh has to have a minimum of memso. So once you have 40 saw of water, 3 cubic amas, so then you can pour in all the mayim shuvim you want and it won't become puzzle. It's hashoket. You have a kosher, a mikveh, all the water, all the shuvim you pour in has ashaka, there's no problem. But if you don't yet have the mem saw, and you pour it in gimel lugim, 3 lugim, a mayim shuvim, not so much, so then the whole mikveh that you have is no good. You have to let out all the water till you have less than gimel lugim, then you have to start all over again. So that din of gimel lugim, mayim shuvim, pasels a mikveh, that's only if it's water, mayim shuvim. What if you pour in wine from a bottle, apple juice, a grapefruit juice, other may pay or something, the din of mayim shuvim only applies to water. So that's what the Mishnah has the contrast. The temed, if it already has the spunk to it, so then it's din of kiyayin, so there's no din of mayim shuvim on it, but you can buy it with mois mois hasheni. And the temed, koidim shechmetz, if it doesn't have the strong flavor yet, it's like Kool-Aid with the water, with a little flavoring, the din of kimayim, it would have the din of mayim shuvim, and you cannot buy it with the mois mois hasheni. That's the first half of the mission. Okay, we're going to have to discuss it some more. We have a representative here tonight from APAC, I think?
NORPAC, okay.
They're going to explain to us al regalachas, the significance of the mission. Yep.
Rav Schechter. My name is Dave Steinberg, and I am here. I'm actually one of the mission chairs for the NORPAC mission to Washington coming up on May 13th. And I'm going to ask you on a small level, not on a big level, on a small level.